All right. Well, hey, for about a month now, we've been collecting pennies. And this thing's getting really heavy. And that's good. I'm really hoping and I really think that there's at least 3,400 of them in here. And I don't know about you guys, but you may have been wondering, we've been advertising that 3,400 pennies can save a life. Have any of you guys been wondering why that is? You can hit one switch. Yeah, there you go. Okay, well, we're going to introduce you guys tonight to someone very special that I believe your pennies are really going to impact their life. And Shauna has done a lot of research, and she's going to tell you all about it. So welcome Shauna as she comes up here. And you can just use this mic.
Shauna, you're beautiful.
Hello, Taylor. Hello. Well, we have our 3,400 pennies because as Velocity, we're going to be sponsoring a kid from the Philippines. His name is Joer Pinafrancia, something like that. And that's him. Isn't he adorable? He's he lives at the Faith, Hope, and Love Kids Ranch in Lucena City, Philippines. And no one knows where his parents were. He just kind of, I don't know, was an orphan, I guess. But he was a part of child trafficking, which we have no idea what that is here. But I guess what they do there is they get kids that are orphans and they sell them to other countries, kids that are half Filipino and half, like, Korean or Chinese. And they were all just living in this house. There was 15 little boys just living in this house by themselves. And someone text messaged the police just, like, randomly. And the Department of Social Welfare came and got them. And the Faith, Hope, and Love Kids Ranch got to take four of them. And Joer was one of them. So he's been living there since June 6, 2007, so a little bit over a year now. And when they found him, he had sores all over his head and all over his legs, and he was really not well-behaved. He just hadn't had parents, and he would always throw tantrums. So he would throw tantrums and bang his head on the floor and bang his head on the wall whenever he didn't get his way. And so I guess his head is kind of funny shaped now. You can't really tell by the pictures. But I guess his head's funny shaped. Oh, that picture on the left is when he first came. He was just really small. And he's like three. He was about 3 years old then, or maybe almost three. And then that picture on the right is more recent, and he just looks so much better over a year. And over on that table, we have a box where we can you can keep supporting him, put your money in there. You can write letters to him and stick them in that box, and we'll take care of, like, mailing them. And I have more to say. I keep getting lost in what I'm saying. They don't really know how old he is or, like, what his name is or when his birthday is because he just came to them without parents or anything. So they just made up a birthday and a name for him. And so his birthday is coming up on September 25th, and he'll be four. So we're going to have a card over there, and we're going to all sign it and send it to him for his birthday. And the $34 a month that we're going to be raising is going to go to food. And they're starting to, like, have their own vegetables and stuff at that ranch. So mostly the money will go to, like, gas and stuff because that's only a little bit over a dollar a day. And the food's about the same cost as here, so that really doesn't get very much. He really likes to eat, and he likes vegetables a lot, and he likes to dance and color. And he's a really nice little boy. The lady in the middle, that's Lorraine Lamar, the head of the ranch. And she just said he's such a sweetheart. He gives her a kiss every night before bed and a hug in the morning. And he's just so sweet. And he is very humble and sensitive. And his prayer request from a little three-year-old is that people would stop selling children. So I just ask that you guys would all pray for that as well and pray for him. And, yeah, we'll just support him together.
Very cool. Very cool. Hey, while we're talking about praying, let's do that. God, we just come before you and we thank you for little Joer. He's 3 years old in a country that many of us have never been to. We have no clue what it's like to be like Joer as he's growing up. But Lord, we pray that you would protect him, you would guide him. Thank you for providing a place for him to live. And we pray that you would raise him up to be a strong Christian man. We thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity just on a monthly basis to give of what you've blessed us with to bless him. Lord, let us be a blessing to him. I pray that our letters, our support, our money would really help him to understand that who you are and that you have a plan for him, Lord. We thank you for little Joer, and we ask that you would use us mightily in his life. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so on the back table back there, make sure you guys swing by the box. And if you guys want to write him a little letter, that would be awesome. We'll send him stuff in the mail. And then, of course, we'll be collecting money. We need to make $34 a month, okay? So this is not just like Velocity Leaders pitching in their extra cash, but this is all of us, okay? We have officially adopted a child, all right? So this is our kid, and it is our job to contribute to his well-being. And this is an awesome way for you guys to show the love of Christ to him, okay? So I really encourage you guys to do that. Now we're going to play a quick game here, if you guys are down with that. Okay, not Four Corners. This is going to be way cooler than Four Corners. I'm going to tell you guys five stories, okay? Now these five stories may be from the Bible, and they may be from recent news. I can tell you there are each, okay? So what I'm going to do is we are going to pair it's going to be this section versus this section, okay? Now, here's what we need. I need each section to pick a leader of the team. Hey, Floor, if you guys want to play, you can join this team. They don't have as many, okay? So just scoot over a little bit. Okay, who's the leader over here? Who's the leader? April. April's the leader. Who's over here? Kmart is the leader. Okay. Okay, listen. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to read five stories. Each time I read a story, a quick little two-word title is going to go up on the screen to remind you what the story was. Don't choose an answer until I'm done. Okay, I'm going to read through the five stories one at a time. Then you guys will discuss, okay? And I need the team leader to tell me what they choose as their answer for each one, okay? And whichever section gets the most wins, all right? So get ready. You guys ready for this? Okay, so the two answers, the only way you can answer this is either Bible or news. Those are the only two answers, Bible or news, okay? So you tell me which story is from the Bible, which one is from the news. Now, keep in mind, team this side, okay? These are your opponents, okay? So if you think you know the answer, you don't want to yell it out. Same over here, guys, okay? So when I say it, don't be like, that's from the Bible, I know it. That's cool, but then you just ruin it for the other guys, okay? So don't yell anything out. Don't yell anything out. Talk together as a team. I'll give you guys 1 minute after I'm done with the five stories to discuss and decide. Leaders, don't ruin it, okay? If you know, don't tell the answer, all right? Here we go. Number one is titled Bad Headache. A man was running from guys who wanted to kill him. He found a random house that he figured they'd never find him in. The lady was very kind, gave him a drink, and let him lay down. The lady turned out to be a hero because she got a huge nail about 10 inches long, and as he slept, she drove the nail into his head into the ground. Decide among yourselves. Shh, shh, shh. Okay, that's number one, bad headache. Pay attention. Here's number two. This is called fish lottery. Around tax season, probably April or so, a guy was expected to pay his taxes but came up short. To get rid of some of his frustration, he went fishing. The first fish he caught happened to have money inside of it. The money was enough to pay his and his friend's taxes. Pretty sweet. That's fish lottery. Number three, bald guy. I love this one. Okay, listen. Shh. Quit talking. Some guys were making fun of an old man who was bald. Bad idea. The old man, you'll see why. The old man gave them a piece of his mind. As he told them how it was, two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the guys who had been making fun of him for having a bald head. 42 guys mauled by a bear. Two bears, okay? That's bald guy. Number four, called rat stew. Food was running out and getting very expensive in one country, so people began catching and eating rats. To buy enough rat meat for a family to eat cost about as much as someone earned in a day and a half of work. Decide among yourselves. Number five, lucky guy. A meeting was being held in the third story of a building. A guy, actually, believe it or not, by the name of Lucky, sat on the windowsill during the meeting. He fell asleep during the meeting, fell three stories out of the window, ended up recovering and coming back to the meeting to have food in the meeting. Okay, you have 1 minute. Discuss amongst yourselves which is Bible and which is news. You decide. Remember, don't shout out the answers. Seconds. Work together as a team, guys. Work together as a team. No hints, leaders. Don't ruin it. Okay, 10 seconds. I need 5 answers. Okay, everybody grab a seat. Make your decision. Make your decision. Hurry, hurry, hurry. April, come on up here. Do you have a list? Okay, I need the 2 team leaders up here. K-Rock, Kmart, I'm sorry. Come on up here. I need the 2 team leaders. We got Kmart and April. Okay, here we go. Here we go. You guys can stand on the floor right down here. Okay. Okay, listen. Everybody listen. You guys ready? You guys ready? Okay, let's find out. Okay, our first story was Bad Headache. The lady who became the hero for killing the guy that was running for his life. Was it Bible or news? Let's find out. Bible. Bible it is. Did you guys both do that? Who do we...
Bible.
Okay, Bible, news. Okay, what?
The list, what?
Did,
I don't know how to play.
Okay, go sit down. Thank you. All right, you can sit down. We'll just have you guys decide. All right, here we go. Our second question was fish lottery. Fish lottery. What did you guys say? Bible, really? News? News? What did you guys decide? What did you decide, April? Bible. Okay. And you guys decided? Let's find out. Bible it is. Bible it is. Okay, number three. My favorite one, bald guy. Okay, April, what did your team choose? News. Let's find out. It's coming. I'm sure of it. It's coming. Bible! There you go. I'm sorry, guys. That actually happened. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Number four, rat stew. What'd you guys decide? What'd you guys decide? News. Let's find out. News! Good job. And number five, the lucky guy. What'd you guys decide? What'd you guys decide? What'd you decide? What'd they decide? Bible. Okay, here we go. Bible it is. Very nice. I believe you guys won. Give yourselves a hand. Okay, so check it out. Write these down if you want to read them. Bad Headache happened in Judges chapter 4. The fish lottery actually happened in the book of Matthew, chapter 17. Jesus, it was his idea to go fishing, and the guy who caught the fish had the money in its mouth. Bald guy, this really happened. 2 Kings chapter 2, they're making fun of Elijah because he has no hair, and so he calls down a curse on 42 kids, and they get mauled by a bear. And lucky guy, lucky guy happened in Acts chapter 20. Now, the guy's name means lucky, and in the Bible, they call him Eutychus. And they were having a Bible study. Paul was preaching. He was sitting in a windowsill, bad idea, on the third story, worse idea. And he fell asleep, even worse idea, and fell to his death, died. Paul went down there, raised him back to life. The guy got up and went and had more food in their meeting, okay? So, now, everybody listen. Those are only a few examples of some crazy Bible stories, okay? I need you guys to pay attention. You too. Got it? Okay, thank you. So here's the deal. There are only a few. There's a bunch. We only mentioned a few. But these were just a few things of some crazy stuff that goes down in the Bible. Just to mention a few others, if you want to write them down, feel free. 2 Samuel 18. Absalom, David's son, has really long hair. He's riding on a donkey, rides underneath a tree, gets caught, get his hair caught in a tree, okay? The donkey keeps going. So he's hanging by his hair in a tree. His enemy comes along, stabs him in the heart with 3 spears. He dies, okay? Of course, we know Jonah gets swallowed by a big fish, the book of Jonah. John chapter 11, Lazarus being raised from the dead after 3 days. That's crazy. Numbers chapter 22, we know Balaam's talking donkey. I can't imagine what that must have been like to have his donkey turn around and talk back to him. But he did. And I find it so ironic because people that don't like God and that are call themselves atheists or whatever, they will use stories like these, things that happened, to try to prove to others that the Bible is false. You know, and I find it so ironic that they would use these hard to imagine stories as excuses to do away with the Bible. Think about it. They'll believe that over millions and billions of years, we just happened to evolve from a bunch of slime. But some guy getting swallowed by a big fish, that could never happen, right? I mean, come on, seriously, which one takes more to believe? And here we have a biblical, historical account of some things that actually happened. Now, there are times in the Bible where Jesus tells a story about something that's not real. But he'll say that. Or the Bible will say, then he told a parable about this, which was a story. Or they'll say in Revelation, we'll read, there was a sign in heaven, which means the words he's about to use are more symbolic than actual things that took place. But unless it says that, this is a historical account of things that happen. So a lot of people will rule out the Bible as not having any relevance in their lives because of stories like this. I read some interesting statistics. At least 20 million Bibles are sold every year, but only 59% of Americans read the Bible occasionally. Occasionally. 20 million sold a year, only 59% of Americans sometimes read the Bible. Which means the Bible is the least read and the least understood best-selling book of all time. Isn't that insane? The least read, the least understood best-selling book of all time. Millions are sold, millions are given out. And so tonight we're asking the question, is the Bible really all it claims to be? It makes some huge claims. And we're going to get to those a little later. But before we get there, we were a little curious to find out what people on the streets had to say about the Bible. And I'm going to invite Tiara up here right now. She's going to come tell you guys just a couple things. But here's the deal. Tiara and Ashley and Ruben and I think a couple others went out yesterday and they went to UNM and they talked with some people about what their beliefs on the Bible are. So she's going to tell you about some of the people they came across, and then we're going to watch a video that shows just that. So feel free. There you go.
So I have
tell
a quick question.
It.
How many of you guys go to school? Everybody? Okay. Well, Ashley and I go to school too. So we went and we talked to our classmates to see what they thought about the Bible. And it was just really mind-blowing for us that so many people claimed to be Christians or claimed to be Catholic, and yet they had no idea. We'd ask them if they believed in the Bible, and they'd say, well, I don't know. I believe in parts, or I haven't really read it. And then it was just crazy because we had atheists. People were coming up to us that were like, I'm an atheist, and they were asking us to be interviewed. So it was just really wild. And so what it showed Ashley and I was just that so many people want to know the truth, but we have to be willing to show them the truth. So it's really cool that you guys are learning about Revelation so that you get to know what happens and you can go share it with people at your school. So
very cool. Enjoy the video. Here we go.
Guys, we're at the University of New Mexico and we're going to interview our fellow classmates just to see what their different points of view are on the Bible and the end times since we're studying Revelation in Velocity. So come along and see what kind of answers we get. Here we go. Revelation tells us how the world will end, but what do you believe will happen?
You look a little confused.
Sir? Sir.
Sir.
I don't think this is going to work.
Work.
Have you ever read the whole Bible?
No.
How often do you read the Bible, if ever? The answer would be no. Do you believe the Bible is true? Why or why not?
No. Because I don't believe in religion.
If you found out everything in the Bible is true, how would that affect the way you live?
Wouldn't it affect me?
The book of Revelation tells us how the world will end, but what do you believe will happen?
We'll go into a different age because this age is... When they say the world will end, they mean the age will end. You see? So, I think we're in Pisces right now, and we'll go to Aquarius. Because it's loosely defined. World means eon, which means age. So they mean it goes to a different age. The last age was Taurus.
So, have you ever read the whole Bible?
No, never.
How can? Okay, so do you have any interest in reading the Bible, or?
No, not at all.
Do you believe the Bible is true, and if not, why is that?
Well, I don't know, because most of the holy books have the same stories, kind of. So, yeah, mostly, I guess.
Okay. If you found out everything in the Bible is true, how would that affect the way you live your life today?
I would be a much better person, probably. Or try to be.
Okay, so the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, tells us what the world will be like when it ends. But what do you believe will happen?
I have no idea, to tell you the honest truth. So.
Well, great. Thank you for your time. That's all I wanted to ask you. So. All right. So, first question. Have you ever read the whole Bible?
No.
Do you have any interest in reading the Bible at all?
Honestly, no.
Okay. Do you believe that it's true? Even if you haven't read it, do you believe that it's true?
I'm going to go with yeah.
Yeah? Okay. So if you did find out that everything in the Bible was true, how would it affect your life?
How? I don't even know. I don't know.
Okay. So the last book in the Bible is called Revelation, and it's basically just saying that the world is going to end, and it's saying how the world will end and what happens to us when we die. So if that were true, what do you believe about what will happen? Or if you don't think that Revelation is true, what do you think will happen to us when we die?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about any of this, but I don't know. Possibly the rebirth and everything like that. But coming back as, I don't know, another being or something.
Okay. And if the Bible isn't truth, and if God isn't truth, what do you think is truth?
What do I think is truth? I have no idea.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time. Okay.
So, have you ever read the Bible, the entire Bible, or parts of it?
Yes.
How often do you read the Bible, if you ever read it?
Daily, usually, sometimes every other day.
Okay. And do you believe that it is true?
Yes, completely and 100%.
Well, why do you think it's true?
Because of the faith that I have in Jesus Christ, the relationship that I have come to know my Father and my Creator, Jesus and God, I have come to know that.
And knowing that the Bible is true, how does that affect your life and the way that you live?
Definitely more positively. I see life with a lot more positive of an outlook, I think. And on top of that, I have more. I feel like that by living by truthfully by the Bible, you are driven to be more of a servant for Christ.
Okay, so in the book of Revelation, it says how the world will end and what happens to us when we die. What do you think will happen to us when we die? And do you believe Revelation is true?
I do believe Revelation is true. When we die, assuming that we as Christians will be resurrected to heaven and through the rapture, and the people that who have not come to believe or have accepted Jesus and his teachings will not be taken to heaven. They will be condemned to the fire that's hell.
Okay, and what do you think truth is?
Truth is God.
All right, Adam, well, thank you so much for your time.
I had to make them sign waivers, and this is the wave.
This is the waiver.
And this is us signing off.
Okay, so basically we just came down here. I didn't know the answers we'd get, but they're interesting, and so hopefully this shows you just that people have different views about the Revelation. And so it's time to decide.
Let's pay attention to Kevin and see what he says about Revelation
and decide what you believe.
All right. Okay, so again, the question tonight, is the Bible really all it claims to be? If you guys have your Bibles, turn to Revelation 1. We're just going to look at a couple verses tonight and do some hands-on stuff here in just a moment. Now, maybe you're wondering, you know, we're asking the question, well, does the Bible really claim, you know, is it really all it claims to be? But maybe you're wondering, well, what does it claim to be? Is it that big of a deal? Does it make some big claims? It absolutely does make some big claims. In fact, if you want to read about some of those claims, you can write these verses down. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. The Bible claims to be actually breathed by God, okay? In other words, the words that we read here are God's actual words. That's a huge claim. 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. Here's another one. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The Bible claims to be as sharp as a two-edged sword. Okay, not literally, obviously, but spiritually speaking. And it says that it sees the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. That's a big claim. The last 17 books of the Old Testament are known as the prophets. And these guys, these books, the prophets, were basically God's words spoken through men about what the future held, about what was going to happen in the future. Now, thousands of those have already been fulfilled. There are still, I'm sure, thousands more to still be fulfilled. Revelation 1 and Revelation 22 use the word prophecy, and it calls itself a prophetic book, and that's a big deal. Now, it would be one thing for me to say that I may know what's going to happen tomorrow, or I may have a good idea of what the weather may be like tomorrow, but it's a totally different thing for me to say, I prophesy that this will happen. Or I, you know, claim to be a prophet. That's a big claim to make. And that's one of the claims, just one of the few that I've read that the Bible makes. Look in Revelation 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now turn to the very end of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 17. I'm sorry, actually verse 18. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, there it is again, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Those are some big claims. The Bible says you need to pay attention to these words. This book is prophecy. It tells the future. The very end, it says you need to pay attention to these things. If you don't do it, or if you add to it stuff that you're not supposed to do, there will be harsh consequences. So it doesn't just claim to predict the future, but it says if you don't obey what the book says, there will be bad things that will happen. Those are some pretty intense claims. It knows our hearts. It knows our thoughts. It knows the future. Those are big claims that not just any book can make. Now, let's be honest. I'll be honest with you guys right now too. How many of you guys, since you accepted the Lord, if you've done that before, since you've accepted the Lord as a Christian, be honest, have ever questioned, is the Bible really true? I've done it. A lot of us have, okay? And you know, I know for me, the question that always used to come up to my mind, we have all these people who say that their books are true, right? We have all these different beliefs. I have a few different ones up here. Some from the Jehovah's Witnesses, they have their own translation of the Bible called the New World Translation, much different than the New Living Translation, okay? The New World Translation is wrong and false. And they have this book, Knowledge That Leads to Everlasting Life. This book right here does not lead to everlasting life, okay? No matter what it's called. This one is called Reasoning from the Scriptures with the Jehovah's Witnesses, which is an ironic title because there is no reasoning from Scriptures in here, okay? So that's just some. I have Charles Darwin, Origin of the Species right here. A lot of people say that that book is real. Here's the Teachings of Buddha. A lot of people say that one's real. The Book of Mormon, okay? The Quran. Lots of crazy stuff. And all of these people, if you asked a Muslim, hey, is the Quran true? Absolutely. Ask a Mormon, is the Book of Mormon true? Absolutely. Jehovah's Witness, Buddhists, anybody. Ask them if they believe their book is true. They're most likely going to say that they believe their book is true. So how do we know that we're not just like every one of them? How do we know we're just not another belief system that has a book that we claim to be true just like everybody else in the world? How do we know that? Let me ask you this. What do you call a prophet who gives prophecies that are false? False prophet. You guys are pretty smart. Good job. False prophet, right? Now, if the Bible had made a lot of correct prophecies, and then one time it made a prophecy that was incorrect, what would we do with the Bible? We'd say it was false, right? I mean, if it makes one mistake, how do we know that it's not going to make more? Great thing about the Bible is that it never has. Now, it's impossible for one person to fulfill as many prophecies as Jesus did. It's completely impossible. And we're going to prove that tonight. In a fun way, in an interactive way. We're going to prove that, okay? Now, here's the deal. A lot of people will try to tell you a lot of things. The great thing with the Bible is there's fact to back it up. And if you're ever questioning in your mind, how do I know that the Bible is really what it claims to be? I want to give you guys a very hands-on approach to help you remember that tonight, okay? We're going to do this. I've shared this illustration with you guys before, but we're going to take it to a new level that we've never done tonight. There's a scientist and a team of mathematicians. They got together. How many of you guys like science? How many of you guys like math? Okay. Well, a few of you then. These guys all got together, scientists, a whole bunch of mathematicians, and they wanted to prove how impossible it was that the Bible really works, that it completely defies all human odds. And this is great because what they're setting out to do is prove that although the Bible defies all odds, it is true. And so they set out to prove this. And what they did was they took 8 specific prophecies specifically about Jesus. Now, if they're about Jesus, we would call them messianic prophecies because Jesus was prophesied to be the Messiah. So these would be messianic prophecies. And so they took 8 specific ones. And I'm gonna read those out, and it might be good for you guys to mark these down and just remember what they are. They'll be up on your screen. We won't have time to read through them all, but I'll give you a brief summary of each. If you want to write them down, feel free. Micah 5:2 prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Malachi 3:1 says that a messenger will come before him. Prophecy number 3, Zechariah 9:9 says that this man would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. Zechariah 13:6 says that he would be betrayed by one of his friends. Zechariah 11:12 said that he would be bought for 30 pieces of silver, or maybe better put, sold for 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah 11:13, the one betraying him, now check out how precise this prophecy is. The one betraying him would return the money, throw it on the ground, and the money would be given to a potter. That's exactly what happened with the money that Judas gave back. He was ashamed of himself, threw the money down on the ground, just like the prophecy said, and it said that they picked up the money and they bought a field from a man who was a potter. Exactly how this prophecy said it would happen, Zechariah 11:13. Prophecy number 7, Isaiah 53:7, said that this man would make no defense for himself while his life was on the line when he was on trial. It's exactly what Jesus did. Psalm 22:16 said that he would be crucified. His hands and his feet would be pierced. Now, those are some extremely precise prophecies. They chose these 8. There are more. Now, if just one was wrong, we would call the Bible a false book. Because if it made one mistake, then how do we know the rest of it's not a mistake? How do we know the rest of it's not going to come true or is going to come true? It's all up in question then. So they picked these 8. Now, what's the possibility that one man fulfilled just these 8 prophecies? What is the probability? Well, for you mathematicians out there, they figured it out. Mathematically, and this is a very, very conservative estimate, it's probably way more than this. But a very conservative estimate, mathematically, it came out to 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That's the odds of one man fulfilling these 8 specific prophecies. Now, if you don't know what 10 in the 17th power looks like, write a 10 on your bulletin and write 17 zeros behind it. It looks like this. So the odds, check this out, listen, the odds of Jesus or any one man fulfilling only these 8 specific prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Absolutely impossible odds. Just these 8 specific prophecies. So, let's visualize this. Take the state of Texas. It's the second largest state in the United States. It's 268,820 square miles. This is a huge state. Second biggest in area and population. Now, if you were to travel from one side to the other, basically El Paso to Marshall, Texas, it's about 787 miles. So it would take you about 11 hours straight to travel across the state of Texas, driving, you know, maybe 70 miles an hour. That means if we left now, we'd get there about 7 tomorrow morning. It's a lot of driving, very, very big state, okay? Now, let's say you take Texas, and you guys know what a silver dollar looks like, right? It's about that big. You cover the entire state of Texas 2 feet deep in silver dollars, okay? So if this is the state of Texas, there's silver dollars that come up to a little above my knee, covering the entire state of Texas, over 200,000 square miles, okay? 2 feet deep of these silver dollars. All you got to do is drop a guy off somewhere in Texas. You mix all these silver dollars up, and he's blindfolded. This guy is blindfolded. You drop him off somewhere randomly in Texas. You pick up one silver dollar somewhere in the whole state of Texas, 2 feet deep. It could be all the way on the ground or on the very top or in the corner of Texas. Anywhere you want, you pick up one silver dollar. You mark it with a red X. That man that you just dropped off in Texas with a blindfold can wander as far as he wants for as long as he wants. But the very first silver dollar he picks up must be that one with the red X. That is the same probability as 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That is the same probability of this one man fulfilling just 8 prophecies. It's impossible, isn't it? That's just 8 of them. 1 in 10 to the 17th power. So let's illustrate this. I need a volunteer. Megan, come on up here. Okay, Megan, I want you to grab a seat right here. Okay, I'm going to put, wow, this is an interesting blindfold. Okay, I'm going to put this, I promise it's not a diaper, all right? Okay, we're going to put this blindfold on you. Sorry if I'm pulling your hair. Okay. Is that too tight?
No.
Can you see anything?
No.
Okay, I think she's all right. Okay. I'm going to tighten this up just a little bit more. Sorry about your hair. Okay. So you can't see anything, right? Okay. Okay, here we go. Now, here's what we're going to do. I've asked a couple leaders to come help me with this. And we are going to throw Megan. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We've been collecting these pennies, right? And we should have, I believe we have way over 3,400 in here. We're just going to guess and say we have about 5,000 pennies, okay? I'm just going to guess. I have no idea. But I've asked them to help us, so they're going to take a handful of pennies. There you go. There you go. There you go. Okay, there you go. Okay, spread those out somewhere in the plex, wherever you'd like. Okay. Okay, here we go. Now listen. Shh, shh. Okay, listen. I have one penny right here and a red Sharpie. I'm going to mark an X on it. Red X. Okay? You see the red X. All right. Okay. So here's the deal. Somewhere in this plex, Megan, there is one penny. And it has a red X on it. Now, here, go ahead and get off the chair. I'll help you get off the chair. Hold on just a minute. Okay, go ahead and bend down a little bit. Bend down a little bit. Touch the floor. Feel all around. There's pennies. Okay? Can you feel all around? There you go. There you go. Good job. Okay. Now, you can stand up. Stand up. Turn around. Face the audience. Okay. Now, there are pennies to your left, to your right, behind you, in front of you. They're pretty much all over the plex. Okay? We're going to give you 1 minute, and you can go anywhere in the whole plex. Anywhere. I'm telling you, anywhere inside the plex, you can go anywhere. But here's the deal, Megan. You can only pick up one penny. Don't bother looking at me. You can't see me. You can only pick up one penny. The very first penny you have to pick up is the one I marked with a red X. You think you can do it? Okay, she thinks she can do it. Okay, 1 minute is starting now. Go. It can be anywhere in the whole plex. You can only pick up one penny. Whoa, whoa, what? Be careful. You can only pick up one penny, Megan. Do you need some help? Okay. Okay, don't bump into things. Okay. I'll protect the guitar over here. Okay, you have 30 seconds. You need to pick up one penny. No help from the audience. Shh, shh. One penny. One penny. Okay, they're all around you. You're crawling through them. Shh. She's concentrating. Okay, 10 seconds. You got to find one penny. One penny. Here we go. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, she thinks she has it. She thinks she has it. Megan, take off your blindfold. Let's reveal. No X on that side. You think it's on the other side?
No.
It's not, unfortunately. Give Megan a hand. Give Megan a hand. Okay, Megan, let me tell you where it was. I threw it down here. I think it's, is it this one? Look, I couldn't even do it, and I knew where it was. See, there you go. You can have that one if you like. There you go. Give Megan a hand. Okay. Now, after service, if you want to help us pick up pennies, we would love your help. Okay, check it out. Shh. Listen. Okay, that was a very, very small scale of the magnitude that we were just talking about. Remember, the whole state of Texas, 2 feet deep in silver dollars, one marked. Think about how impossible it was with a couple thousand of them. And she didn't even, I mean, they weren't even covering her feet. She was walking on top of them. The guy in Texas is wading through them, and he has to choose one. She had the whole plex to work in. The plex has an area square yards, 287.5 square yards, okay? Very, very small compared to the state of Texas. Texas is 832,696,832,000 square yards. The plex is 287 square yards. This is a very, very small area. In fact, you could fit 2.8 billion plexes in Texas. 2.8 billion plexes in Texas. You like that rhyme? Here's the deal. You guys look at this map up here of Texas. You could not come up here with a needle and make a hole in the screen the size of the plex. And think about how impossible it was for her to find that one penny somewhere in this room. And we would need literally trillions, probably quadrillions of pennies to just fill up this one room. This is the state of Texas that we're talking about, covered in silver dollars. In fact, I found out that the odds, these are good odds for you guys. You guys are 6.8 billion times more likely to win the Powerball jackpot than it is for one man to fulfill these eight specific prophecies. 6.8 billion times more likely. Now, that does not mean you should start gambling because your odds are still one in like 146 million. Okay, so don't worry about trying. But I think you guys would be, I think if we're honest here, the Bible answers its own question. Is the Bible really all it claims to be? What do you guys think tonight? I think it's very clear that the Bible is exactly what it claims to be. There is no human way that this could happen. It's absolutely impossible for one man to fulfill those eight specific prophecies. Let me tell you something even cooler. Do you know how many Jesus has fulfilled? Over 300. Listen. It is impossible for one man to fulfill only those eight. He's fulfilled over 300. It is very clear that the Bible is what it claims to be. So let me ask you this, seriously. What does that say to you about Jesus and the Bible? What does that mean to you? What does that mean to us? Come on, what is it? When you guys find out that the Bible is real, what does that mean to you? God's real. Great, what else? Great, so this really happened. I'm talking serious. What does this mean for you? This is huge, guys. We just found out that everything that happened in this thing really happened. What does that mean for you? It gives us hope, doesn't it? It means when we read about Revelation and that there's heaven and there's hell, it means it's reality, guys. It means that when it says all we have to do is trust in Christ and believe that he has died to take away our sins, it is reality. And if he could fulfill over 300, we need to follow this guy because he knows what he's doing. And if the Bible can predict all of these things, we need to start living it because it knows what it's talking about. Broke my heart on that video to hear that guy, one of the first guys they interviewed. The question was asked, well, what if you find out that everything in the Bible is true? How would that affect the way you live? And he said, it wouldn't affect me. Are you kidding me? You find out that hell and heaven are real and you're not going to change your life? It's a lot of, unfortunately, the people that surround us in this world. I just want to close with a quick story. I was on my way home today. Everybody pay attention. I was on my way home today for lunch. Before you pack up, okay? You'll have plenty of time to do that. It's not that important right now. I was heading home for lunch, and I was I just happened to flip on the radio. I wasn't listening to one station. I flipped it to another one, 107.1. There were some teachings on. And this pastor named David Rosales was on. He's the pastor of Calvary, one of the Calvaries in California, in Chino Valley. And he was talking about a guy he just met a couple weeks back. He was teaching, and this woman came up to him, and she said, my husband really has a powerful testimony that he'd like to share with you. So he said, great, I'd love to meet him. Walked up to him, and this man shook his hand and just began to well up with tears in his eyes. David Rosales had no idea what was happening. And so this guy started to tell him the story. And here's how it went. He said, 2 weeks ago, I decided to kill myself. And a lot of times what people do when they're going to commit suicide is they'll get everything in order. They'll sometimes clean themselves up. They'll sometimes even dress up nicely. They'll put their house in order. And this guy, he said, I was going to take a bath, and once I got out of the bath, I was going to kill myself. So he said, I walked into the bathroom, and I began running the water. And I remembered in the back of my mind that my brother had given me a cassette tape, and he said, listen to this sometime when you get a chance. And he said, for whatever reason, I just felt like before I killed myself, I just wanted to do that one last thing, just for my brother. So I got out of the bath, and I searched through my room, and I found that cassette tape. And he said, I walked into the bathroom, I set up my tape player, and I put the tape in, pushed play, and I got into the bathtub, and I said, once this tape's over, I'm going to kill myself. The tape was David Rosales, this pastor, teaching about Revelation. And as he told the story of how we are sinners, Jesus came to die for us. We need a Savior. This man who is ready to kill himself accepted Jesus Christ right there in the bathtub. Prayed a prayer with this tape player sitting there in his bathroom. And he looked at this pastor and he said, Jesus literally saved my life. Moments could have passed had I not heard your message, and I would have gotten out of the bathtub and I would have committed suicide. I'm here today because Jesus saved my life. So let me ask you guys today. We've asked some pretty intense stuff tonight. Is the Bible really all it claims to be? And I think we've found out very clearly, visually, that the Bible is exactly what it claims to be. And in that case, you need to make a decision because the Bible makes it very clear that the end is near, and the end includes two things. One is heaven, one is hell. You've heard the words. You've heard of the places, I'm sure, if you've been in church at all. But guys, the Bible is reality. I think you've seen that tonight. And I hope you can tell that it's time to make a decision. It's time that we start living as though the Bible is really real. So I have a feeling that there may be some of you in here tonight who you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. I don't want to just try to have some emotional thing. That's not what this is all about. But if tonight you realize the Bible is a big deal and I'm not where I should be with God, he's talking about sin and I need a Savior and I don't have that, and if I died today, I don't know where I'd go. If that's you, I want to give you a chance right now to raise your hand and say, pray with me because I want to know Jesus. I want to commit my life to Jesus. Is there any of you today in front of everybody, you would say, I don't think I know where I would go if I would die, and I want you to pray for me. Is there anybody who wants to make that decision here tonight? This is not something we want to laugh at. This is something we want to help you with. It's the best decision you could make right here on the front row. Awesome. Anybody else? You've never made the decision and you realize tonight you need to. Is there anybody else? All the way in the back. Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Anybody else? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer. For those of you who raised your hand, or for those of you who maybe should have and you didn't, I want you to pray this prayer. It's not like a secret code into heaven. All it is accepting, inviting Jesus into your heart. The Bible says when we commit to live a life, you know, believing by faith that Jesus gave up his life for us, that we will be saved. So all you got to do is repeat this prayer after me and commit your life to Christ, all right? So if you want to pray this, feel free. Maybe a few of you guys can join us in this prayer. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Forgive me for my sins. I need you to save me. Thank you that you're alive. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I commit to live my life for you. Help me to stand up against temptation. And thank you for dying for me. In your name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Very cool. Okay. So here's how we're going to end the service. We mentioned that next month is Joe Ayer's birthday, our little kid that we're going to be sponsoring. And so we're going to send him a birthday card, all right? Here's how we're going to do it. Courtney, do you have somebody to pass those out? Do you want to do that? Yes, all right. We have birthday hats for everybody, okay? So here's how we're going to, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to orderly, as much as possible, we're going to orderly get birthday hats, okay? Everybody's going to get one. And then we're going to get in a big group right here, and we're going to take a group picture, and we're going to send it to Joe Ayer. Now, everybody, hold on. Before you get up, after we take the group picture, right over here on this table, hey, Denver, you want to hold up that big card? We have a big birthday card. And so we want you to just sign your name, and if you want to write just like a very, very simple hey or something to him, feel free. I don't know if he can read English, but feel free to just write whatever. There's pens on the table, so nobody run. Go grab a birthday hat, and let's get a group picture.